Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome to your place. Last week we read the entire chapter of Psalm 119 and Sister Lively then gave us an introduction to this chapter. Tonight we have turned Blog Talk Mom, aka Sister Lively, loose again on her favorite subject to share some more information on this chapter. We also want to mention to all of you that are contacting us from all over the world with prayer requests. We can't always answer you directly, but know that we are putting your requests before God using the power and the authority of His name that He has provided to us. Where we cannot do many things in ourselves, Jesus has the power to provide. It just takes faith working in your life to get Jesus to fight your battles for you. There is no greater power than people joining together in prayer in the name of Jesus. And as always, we'll welcome your comments or questions at the end of the show. Just push the number 1 on your phone, and you will be identified by the last 4 digits of your phone number. And now, our very own Blog Talk Mom.
Well, hello, Sister Starla.
How are you?
Wonderful night. I am fine. I really want to give special honor to you and Wild Bill, who is my son, and I'm very proud of him and you. And I appreciate this opportunity because I'm not an authority on Psalms 119. It's just that every time he and I talk, that's about all I would bring up because it was so fascinating to me. And I think that's fascinating to study the Bible for 40 years and then just God just open up something that I'd read many times and I'm sure heard many parts of it preached on and used for a topic. And so I thank you and I thank Wild Bill, and I always want to give a shout out to Joy Bells that got us all started on that. That's my wonderful daughter. And this lesson, again, I'm not an authority, but it has just, it seemed like it's brought so many revelations, I guess you would say, of what God has given me through the years and just put it together and like a portrait. I know when I go to Briar Hill, a lot of the people there work puzzles. They have these great big pieces of puzzle, and you know, you put each piece is shiny and pretty, but when you put it together, it's a picture. And when I look at Psalms 119 and I obey it, and then I have committed myself to studying it with the Word of God, and not from just, although I have listened to on YouTube probably. I don't know how many hours I've listened to different people teach on it, but I've also been using the Word of God, you know, and Sister Starla, you've agreed to help me tonight by reading Scripture, and I would highly recommend that anyone that would take time to listen, if it's possible, get your notepad and a pen and write some of these Scriptures down and then let God speak to you through them. I remember the first time, probably 40-something years ago, that I read the Bible all the way through, and I was just fascinated. I just didn't have any idea that the Bible would say certain things, and it was just so, it went right into my heart, everything from people caught in sin and people that were helplessly sick, and then God just moved according to through the love of him and power that he had. And then Sister Starla, when I got to the end of it, I thought, oh man, I'll never forget it. I thought, I read it all, and oh, was I in for a surprise, because you don't ever read it all. I mean, you could read it, you know, it's new. His mercy, his love, it's new, it's fresh, it's powerful. And so we're going to look at Psalms 119 a little bit more tonight. I think that if anyone would have the opportunity to go to the archive and listen to as Sister Starla read it last week, was exquisite. And I think that it would behoove you to do that. If you, I know that while Bill's not going to let me come on for 22 weeks, and there, so I think I better start abbreviating. I'm figuring out what he's saying to me now. But we'll just touch on many things and then leave it to what each individual that would study it, what God would say to them specifically. There's I guess, acronym for Bible. It's basic information before leaving Earth. And while we're here, this is the manual. This is what we go to. And then when we do go to the Word of God, we will never be disappointed. Stories of people that could not read at all, and they became a Christian, and then they could read the Word of God. God totally opened their understanding, opened their ability to read. It's fascinating, and it's alive. It is absolutely. I know I taught a reading class. I guess it was about maybe 15 years ago to a young man, father, family man, that had never read, never been able to read. And he reminded me of me. I would show him, you know, scriptures we would read after he got farther along in it, and he was just astounded. Even though he'd been in church, he'd listened to sermons, he was just, you could see the amazement of what he would hear when he would actually read and know what God was saying. It was beautiful. So we're going to go to some basic information now in Psalms 119. And do you have anything, anybody that's listening, if you want to add something, it would be fine. And it's Sister Starla, tell them how what they can do, remind them, so they can add to it.
Just push the number 1 on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number, and we will put you live on the air.
Thank you very, very much. I noticed it seemed like I was like Sunday school and church last week. I did the teaching, and while Bill did the preaching, he came right in there. It was so good. And so maybe he'll do that for us if he has an opportunity today. I was privileged this week. A lady in our church, I don't think I mentioned this because I think it just happened this past. I may have. But anyway, a lady in this university here, it's a theology class, and she is going to use the rap album, and I wouldn't sell them to her because I don't sell them, but she gave a very nice donation to our building fund, and I think that's just a blessing of what the Word of God will do, because it is, that's what the rap is. It is the Word of God. And it's powerful, and it crosses the boundaries, and it speaks to people wherever they are. So the reason I think that popped in my mind, I had written some notes on a piece of paper that I had jotted down another rap that I haven't done yet. I looked down here, I thought, what is this? Oh, it is a rap. And I'm so excited about how God is using that to spread his word. So we're going to go to Psalms 119, and last week, let me get this paper over here, we talked about statutes and God's judgments and all of the different things that it refers to, his testimonies, his promises. And so you're really going to look in this particular psalm to his commandments, God's commandments, the decrees that he makes, his testimonies, promises, provisions, messages, counsel. And this is repeated over and over in different scriptures in different ways. And it really means something to get that in your mind, that it's not just saying the word over and over, It's actually the one that has stood out, I guess it helped me more than any of them, is testimonies. There's a scripture, one of the scriptures that says that you ask God to just to incline your heart to his testimonies and not unto covetousness. And that has just been volumes to me about concerning the album and all of the that. It's not about covetousness. It's not about trying to get something, giving. The testimony, everyone in the Bible, that I would think of Esther especially, how she gave everything. She even allowed the servants to decide what she would wear. You know, she was so humble, and she was led to the place that she literally saved their nation. And Ruth, and I don't know how many times I've said this in the last few weeks to people, because the widow that didn't have anything, and she was there for the prophet. And then when she needed, when her son passed away, he was brought back to life. There's just no end to going to the testimonies in the Word of God. And did God ever let him down? Did he ever fail? Did he not always do abundantly, exceedingly, above anything that they could have ever thought? What about Samson? Even though we know that there were troubles and failures, but he slew the enemy more in his death than he did in all of his life. And he was, it just, there's so much about his life that we can take the situation and know that God always comes out a winner, always. Not part of the time, not half the time, not maybe, not if only. God always comes out a winner, and we are his. We are the apple of his eye. If we will let God, there is nothing that he will not do for us. And so anyway, I want to go back to this particular eight verses. In every phrase of it, think, when I'm reading it, what is our part? What's our part to do? Will we walk? What does it mean, walk? We're walking in his word. Doesn't that give you a picture of moving forward, walking with someone? You can think of two oxen that if they're unequally yoked, they can't walk together. There's got to be that balance. There's got to be the togetherness. So we walk with God. God walks with us. It talks about we speak his word. We speak it. There's our part. So what is our part? When you read it, say, Lord, what is my part? What can I be speaking? Where can I walk? Where would you lead me to? What would you want me to meditate? What word from you? Some statute, some judgment? So what would you want me to meditate on to the point that it would do what it is supposed to do in my life and in those around me? Do I need to be cleansed? Do I need to be washed by the word? Do I need to be strengthened? Do I need to be uplifted? Do I need to be forgiven? All of this is all over and over. It's outlined beautifully in this beautiful Psalm 119. God respects his word. He always honors his word. Always. That's a definite. God always honors his word. He is a promise giver, a promise maker, and he never, ever breaks his promises, ever. And we can rejoice in that, and we can be strengthened by that, and we don't have to be influenced by what's around us, by the wickedness in the world, by what we hear, what we see in the world. We don't have to be subject to the accuser, the liar that we know that Satan is. We do not have to let that be what determines our life. We walk with God. We are victorious over the one. Just think about it. His head is crushed. You know, he's not doing all that hot a job. You know, I'm not being, forgive me if I'm being facetious. But I want us to realize that we serve a God that loves us. We're even going to get on that a little bit later on. But delight in his word. Don't allow anything to come between you, and I'll say the same thing, and the power of the sword of the word of God. God's word will recover us, it will restore us, it will revive us, and it will repair us. I'm going to say that again. God's word recovers. And that sort of falls under the heading for me of redeemer. He recovers. He redeems. I've made some awful messes. I'm 77 years old, and I want you to know that when I came to God, I don't ever want to forget how he picked me up, turned me around, set my feet on solid ground, gave me a reason for living, gave me redeemed the destruction. And I am so excited. I'm going to try to my best to slow down here. But anyway, God's word restores, recovers, revives, and repairs. So if we want revival, it seems like it would be pretty obvious. Get into the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. And apply our life to those things that over and over that's repeated in this psalm. What are his commandments? What decree has he made, maybe specifically for your life? You can't avoid that. You can't say, well, everyone else is doing it. No, that doesn't work. We walk in circumspectly with the Lord. What testimony would God want us to observe, and glean from? What would be the promise that we would hold on to that would pull us out of whatever situation that would come against us? And they're there. Think it not strange when that fiery trial comes. It's there, and it will be there. But provision is also there. And so God has, I'm going to stop right now. And now when will Wild Bill want to, does he want to come in, or do we just want me to keep going, Sister Starla?
Yeah, for now.
Okay, and I'll just leave that up to you. Okay. Later on in Psalms 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If there was no other scripture in this whole psalm, there's nothing as needful as light. And the darker it is, the greater the need. And his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Yes, it's dark. Oh, yes, we could just really, you know. And I'm not saying put your head in the sand and not be aware. But at the same time, in the midst of darkness, to be also aware that God is shining through us a dark and very, very sad world. So there are several things. I want to just start with the very first one. I can put I'm going to have to do this with a PowerPoint, Sister Starla, because I have so many notes here. No, I don't have it. I mean, I can't do it on the phone with PowerPoint, so I'll just do it with you because you're going to help me a lot. The first word we're going to use from Psalms 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So you go to some versions, and it says happy. It doesn't say blessed. It says happy. Well, one of the definitions of blessed is happy. You know, that would go along with it for sure. But it's so much deeper when you go into that word, and Sister Starla's going to help me by reading in the book of the Beatitudes, which is, there's not a word like beatitude. It just refers to these verses of Scripture. But blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So today, or in this session, we'll talk about blessed. What does that mean? Undefiled, what does that mean? Way, what does that mean? Walk, what does that mean? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. If Sister Starla will read, it's the Beatitudes are Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 3, and she's going to read all the way down to verse 12.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Now, I'm just going to say that without the Spirit of God, and without the sword of the Word of God, and without the born-again experience, and I know that the Bible says, you know, desire the sincere milk of the Word. You know, there were times that they were not ready for the meat of the Word. But desire it, because without it, we can't do these things. This is not a natural list here. There's no way that if people revile us and persecute us, that we're going to rejoice, you know, really? I mean, we're just not going to do that. And, of course, this is not saying that you're being reviled and mistreated because you are a scoundrel. It says that you're mistreated because it's false, because it's just because you're a Christian. Well, sometimes the enemy wouldn't come right out and go through, you know, it wouldn't be a trial where he would just say, well, I'm persecuting you, somebody on your job or some situation, just because you're a Christian. Now, they wouldn't say that, but we know that we are in a warfare. We are in a warfare. We must take on the whole armor of God to protect. We have to put it on. Take up the whole armor to. That's by faith to quench those fiery darts of the enemy. You know, this is what, if we want to be blessed and happy for not only now but forever, then this is the list. Poor in spirit, we're going to have the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is ours forever. What does this mean? It means to be humble. To be humble. I don't think there's anything harder for me than be humble. I mean, usually when I really think I'm humble is when I'm really not humble. You know, but after it's all over with, I think, oh, well, maybe that wasn't really all that humble. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning is not just having a bad day. I mean, mourning is to mourn and to grieve, like the Holy Ghost that grieves over the lost. And wouldn't it be something if every day when we look out and we see those that are not reading the Word of God, they're not caring about the one that died for them. They're so twisted. I want to say this because I'm not being, I know in my heart I'm not being judgmental, because I was one of the most ungodly young people as a teenager. I did not dress. I was horrible. Even when people were horrible, I was horrible. But our young people, I go out and it's just, I'm not talking about church people, but it's just like there's no restraint. And we should be grieved, not judgmental, not look at that little whatever, but, oh, Lord, send conviction, that there be young people rise up and say, I'm going to live a holy, godly life because I love my Savior. And that will bring the light of God into their life, and then that light will shine through them to others. And you know what? When you're really eating something really good, usually people want to know what it is and where they can get some. And that's what God wants us to be, the salt of the earth and the light that's set on a hill, not covered. And so each one of these things, and I really appreciate you reading it, that hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hunger. A hunger, Lord, help me as I read your word. Lord, let me from the depth of my heart, I want to hunger to know you in a greater way. I want to feel your presence. I want to have a burden and care for those that are lost around me. And I, when they want prayer, I want to feel that desire for them to be healed and filled and set free. And them to know that without me preaching at them, but just to hunger and thirst after God, after his righteousness. Will they might be filled? No, they will be filled. They're going to be filled. That's God's word. Blessed are the pure in heart and the peacemakers. And I just appreciate this one section of scripture on the one word when we do Psalms 1, verse 1, word 1. Blessed is the man humanity that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, that Psalms 1:1, but nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate every once in a while. No. Well, when he can, on Wednesdays and Sundays, day and night. Hear what the word of God is saying? When 119:1 says, blessed are the undefiled, it's really saying something. It's not just saying, woo-hoo-ha, I'm really happy today. Yeah, man, it's a good day. No, it's not like that. It's deeper and wider than we can even comprehend, and it cannot be fulfilled unless we as human beings spend time in his word. If we're dirty, we can be washed. If we're sad, we can be blessed. If we're confused, he'll show us the way. If we need to know more about it, he'll teach us. He says, teach me, Lord. And that's he hears that. He will. He desires to do that, to give us understanding. And I'm going ahead of my 8 verses. But this is so exciting. I promise you that are listening, if you will choose 119 for your devotion, you will never be sorry that you did, although it does grow. If you could see the pages on the one word, blessed, I think I had 4 pages typewritten, or maybe not that many, but a lot of them anyway. Okay. Psalm 32:1, talking about back on the word, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You know, you might get a lot of great things. You might win a race if you're a race driver. You could do any accomplishment in the world, but if you're going to be happy, if you're going to really be blessed, it's when you know that all of your transgressions are forgiven. And all of your sin is covered. And the word of God said, it is just if I'd never done it. I'm justified. Just if I had never done it. So no wonder this psalm starts out with, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Because how did I get undefiled? I was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I was born again by the power of the Spirit of God. So I'm happy. Yeah, I'm blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, I've got some scriptures here on, this is good too. Luke 11, just still talking about blessed. Jesus said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the words of God and keep it. And this is when they were talking about his family. And I've read that I don't know how many times, but as I read it this time, I realized that God loves me as much as his mother. And you know what? You know he loved his mother. But if we love him and we follow him, he loves us. If we hear his word, hear what? His word. Word, his word. And what? If we keep it. And that's what we're going to talk about. Psalms, this whole verse, this whole eight verses will be on keeping and hearing and walking in the word of God. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What are we talking about being blessed? Whoso looketh into the, open the Bible, read it, and then continue in what you read. Walk. You're going to be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed. James 1:26-27, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." And I mean, there's religions out there. I had a lady walk up to me and said, if I didn't believe, I could shoot somebody and go right on to heaven. That wasn't her words. It was something like, I don't believe I could shoot my way out of heaven, I think, or something like that. But it was seeming more gross the way she said it. And she's not just one. There are thousands and thousands of people that believe that. And it plain says, pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and their afflictions, to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, if we're going to be blessed, then we're going to be undefiled. We're going to obey these scriptures, and we're going to walk in the laws of the Lord. Okay, now, I had a whole bunch more on that, but I wanted to mention, there's a lot of, everybody wants authority. Everybody wants to be the boss. There's just a human nature thing, you know, to be the boss. It can, you know, there's been fun things said about it. There's been all kinds of things. But this is what Satan wanted, was authority. He wanted the authority. And Jesus took it away from him, took it back, totally took it back. And Jesus wants us, God wants us to walk in that authority and not be pushed around, but to obey those. If we're persecuted for Christ's sake, if we need to be humble or must be humble, do it. Because God's given us the authority to accomplish that, to be undefiled. Undefiled is not climbing a ladder. Undefiled is not trying as hard as you can to obey 297 rules and to dress a certain way. That's not undefiled. Undefiled is letting the authority that Jesus won for us reign in our life so that we are not overtaken by lust of sin and all of those things in the world. And we'll go, when we get into, I think, the third section, we will really touch on that. It's very, very good. There's one scripture about authority in Mark 13:34. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to who? To his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch." Now we each have, God has given each of us a work to do. And he's given us the authority from him to do it. We have his name. That's why the enemy would do anything to keep people from baptizing in the name of Jesus, which is the most obvious thing in the world. I mean, for one thing, it's absolute scripture. They wanted to know what to do to be saved on the day of Pentecost. Peter said he had the keys. Repent. Turn around. Turn your feet, turn around. That's going to be covered in 119 also. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Why argue over that? Why should that be a debate? It's just obvious. If we will let God, I mean his word, God through his word, be the authority. If he told Peter he had the keys, Peter used the keys, that's what he said to do to be saved, then why do we have 200 whatever denominations? Do it. Just do it. Well, anyway, I didn't do it. Took a while for somebody to get through to me, too. But I did after I heard it. Okay, now, we're going to do read some more scripture. Oh, Sister Starlet, do I need to be quiet and let you say something?
Oh, no, go right ahead.
I'm gonna let you read something then, okay?
Okay.
I really appreciate you doing this. We're going to read about Hezekiah. It's in 2 Kings. It will be the 20th chapter. And if you will, if you'll read verses 1, I think, to 11, with it.
Mm-hmm.
Read all of that. Now, this is talking about Hezekiah. Okay.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face into the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz.
I'll tell you, this scripture, this whole story is one of the most exciting stories in the Bible as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he was undefiled. I mean, no, Lord, I want the sun to go backward. You realize that everything in the whole universe had to do something different for that to happen?
Yes.
I mean, we count our prayers, our intercession. It matters. It counts. And using the word of God, it's just, this is awesome. I'm going to read in 2 Chronicles 31:20-21. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God, and in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all of his heart and prospered. Is that not awesome? Oh, what an example of being undefiled, huh? That is so good.
Yes.
I really appreciate you reading these. This is very, very good. I didn't ever really fully get what I was supposed to get from the book of Job. I've read it and I understood, you know, basically, and I've heard it preached, and as I've said so many times before. But the last time, during the last illness, I think it was near the time I had shingles, and I think I don't know, that put me in a different realm. And I realized that no matter what we go through, God loves us. It's never, ever wasted. God loves us. And it's a love beyond even comprehension. And Job knew that. Job didn't understand. Everything that had any value to him was taken away, even the ridicule of the self-righteous, wonderful friends that he had. But he knew that much about God, and it turned every bit for his good. It said, Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So you think, well, really? You know, start reading the things that happen. But we can't stop. We walk. We continue with God. Because if he had stopped, and I'm not talking about just stopping in life, but in the situation that God had put him in, he continued. He kept going. And he kept holding on to God. And it was all turned for his good. So if we can get a glimpse of that, just a glimpse, as we're in the Word of God, that I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep my eye on the Lord. I'm going to keep my trust in his word, because I don't understand what's going on, and it does hurt. But I do know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Now, I can't run up and say that to somebody else that's going through something, because that can hurt. But I can let the Spirit of God say it, quicken it to me, and know that, yes, this will also turn for my good. And all the times that I've done that, I have seen God do things overabundant of what anything I ever would have even thought of. And the times I haven't, it seems like it was just a wasted situation. I don't think anything's wasted. But my comprehension and my growth in the Lord was not really manifested until maybe sometimes much, much later. Okay. Paul wrote to Titus, and he called him his own son after the common faith. I think that's in Titus 1:4. And, you know, Sister, sometimes people make fun of us. As in churches, we call each other brother and sister. And they go, what do you do that for? Because we're a family. We are born in to the kingdom of God. He is our Father. He is our Father. And we are his children. We were born again, and we are brothers and sisters, and we love each other. And Sister Arla, when you and I were talking earlier, you mentioned, I was thinking something that I had read in this study was talking about, I think it was, I wish I could think of his name. They would give 1 month's wages to get a Bible. 1 month's wages. And, I mean, we have most people, you know, we just have Bibles everywhere. I have them everywhere. In every class just about that I teach, I have a Bible that goes into that class, because I have it marked and, you know, sectioned off to what lesson I'm teaching in that situation. And it's just, I would have no trouble at all if I wanted another one. And we've got the Gideons that place them everywhere. By the way, I want to give a real compliment. I was at the doctor's office been a while back, but the Gideon Bible, it has it in the very beginning. If you're hurting, if you're grieving, you know, different things that we all go through emotionally, it has a scripture for you to go to. And I think that's so sweet, because sometimes, you know, a person that is not familiar with the Bible, they be lost, you know, just there's just so much. But to have it just go right to that scripture, and to know that the Lord says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, when maybe their companion just walked out on them. You know, to know that there is a relationship there, that God will fill that void. And I just thought that was really, really good. Okay, did you have another set of scriptures that you were going to read? You did in Thessalonians, didn't you?
Yes.
First Thessalonians. Do you mind reading that? And we're talking about walking with the Lord.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 12. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God, and so we would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence.
Mm-hmm.
Even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of us all, of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. For therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Oh, that we walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing.
Now, see, it would seem like it's a very strict set of rules, but it brings the blessing, just like blessed are ye when. As Sister Star just read, that you may have lack of nothing. God will take whatever, if we will do our part, he's abundantly ready to do his part. Miraculously, supernaturally, he will do his part. And the rest of, I'm going to read some more of that. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. What a blessed thing. We have hope. We will see them again. We will be with them forever. What a wonderful promise that God has given us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. It's talking about, there's a whole lot in here about, I'm not going to get into the debate or whatever, but there's the resurrection and rapture and whatever. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, ever. I guess I should care, but if it's before, after, or in between, as long as I'm going to get to be with them forever. Wherefore, it says, comfort one another with these words. And I would like to make a statement, an observation in my old age. Satan would love to keep us in the area of debate, a spirit of debate. As long as he can do that, then we will not be comforting one another with these words. The words that Paul was brought out here to the church at Thessalonica, it was to comfort them. It was to bring peace and hope to their heart. And then the next scripture, next verse here in Psalms 119, or next word, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. I just think about that. God wants us to keep it. If you get something really special, and I mean, I have one article that I received when I was in the Arctic as a gift. That's special to me. I mean, I'm always put that in a safe place. And so the things that God gives us, let's keep it in our heart that we won't sin. That's the next part. Lord, I've hidden your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. And hide it. This is what Mary did at different times when certain things would happen. The mother of Jesus, she hid those things in her heart. She pondered those things in her heart. She didn't have perfect understanding, but she did all that came. She put it in her heart. We don't all have perfect understanding, but every time God gives us something, keep it. Hide it in your heart. Pray over it. Don't allow Satan that came to steal, kill, and destroy to touch that precious gift and word or statute or judgment or boundary that God has given you. You will not let him take that. So many times the backslider that has had an awesome walk with God, and God says he's married to the backslider, and yet the Satan comes in there, and that beautiful, priceless, wonderful thing that God had given them, say they allow Satan. They don't keep it, and then Satan. And another thought about keeping it. There's certain vegetables. You know, if you don't put them in the refrigerator, they're going to rot. If you've got certain plants and you don't keep it up, if you don't prune it and do the things that's necessary, it will die. So there's more to just like, oh yeah, I've got that. It's in my heart. But what are you doing? What are we doing with it? Are we nurturing it with more scripture? Are we nurturing it with the Spirit of God, with time with him? That's the greatest gift I believe we can give to the Lord, is our undistracted time with him. And we sure want him to give us his time when we need something, or we, you know, it's something that we want him to do. Okay. They also do no iniquity. Again, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. To me, it's diligently keep precepts. I've noticed that, I don't mean this to sound just in a negative. I'm just as maybe a word of warning. But there are times like, well, a revival service or a camp meeting or a conference, and you make consecrations and you mean it. You really mean it. You know, I mean, God's moving on your heart. And there's just been a tremendous move of God. And you don't really give it up altogether, but the diligence, it's not quite the same. It doesn't quite have the priority that it once had. That's wrong. That's a mistake from right away. If we need to recognize, I have situations in my life about eating. And I'm not really overweight that I know of it that much, but I will get in a certain frame of mind praying. I think, well, I am really going to consecrate that right there. And then I go to a church cookout, and somebody's made the best dessert. And you think, oh, that doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. If I made a commitment to God, then I need to be diligent about that commitment, or at least recognize that I'm not diligent, and that I have done it, and make it right with the Lord. Lord, I know I didn't do that correctly. You know, keep it honest before the Lord. We're going to touch on that in 119 too. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all thy commandments. And one of the thoughts that came to me through some sermon I heard on 119 was, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And they said, when we stand before the Lord on that day and the books are open, will we be ashamed? No, we will if we've done wrong and it's not under the blood. It's a real thing. It's a record. And we want to keep that record with all of our heart and have respect for it. Respect it. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And I like this because sometimes we can praise God because the music is really good. I don't mean that really bad, because anyway, but it says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. What does that mean? Thy righteous judgments. All the way from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, we can read about God's righteous judgments. They're always righteous. If you're in a courtroom and the judge brings down the judgment, and that's what it is, then we need to know that and praise him, because God is always righteous and he's always good. And praise him for that. Give him praise. I don't know if this would work for everybody else, but it certainly has for me. Sometimes, you know, you get down to pray, or you're setting your time to pray, and the Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And I just sort of started or something, so I use the alphabet. I love it. I don't use it as a rosary. I don't use it monotonously. I use it because, A, he is Alpha and Omega. What is this first group of eight? It's Aleph. Isn't that wonderful? And then each one, Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Dalet, you know, there's a difference, Hebrew. But God used the alphabet, so I guess I can too. Yeah. And that it'll work. You can. He's your Lord. You're beautiful. You're benevolent. And I remember that time, Lord. I didn't even have any gasoline or anything. It's been years ago. And I remember, Lord, how you moved for me, Lord. And I broke down on the middle of an interstate, and I didn't have any money, and it was snowing. Lord, you were so benevolent, and you let that man stop that one time, and I was so frightened. And come to find out, he was a judge, and he was getting ready, or somebody in a court system. He couldn't have been any more, had more integrity, and he took everything out of my truck. And I don't want to take that lightly, Lord. And he changed that tire, and I praise you for that. You know, when you start doing that, you're going to go into the spirit. You may start out with the alphabet, but it won't be long. That he's my counselor, he's my comforter. And I thank you, Lord, for the times you've comforted me when no one else could have, not a word from anyone would have done it. But I got into your presence, and you let me know that everything's going to be all right. Oh, I could go into that because of my rap song, but I won't do that. Okay, Sister Starla, it's getting late, and I would love to hear from my son.
I can't tell. I need to get back with him. Just keep on, and I'll find out if he's able to talk.
Okay. All right. In a different situation, I understand. 1 John 3:22 says, whatsoever we ask, it's another one of my rap songs, it's my favorite, actually, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. There was a book, Practicing the Presence of God, and that is a wonderful, wonderful meditation. Practice the presence of God. The simple illustration, if you're going down the road and you're 10 miles over the limit and you see a trooper, you're going to slow that car down because you're just aware of his presence, even if he's going the other direction. Well, be that way with the Word of God. Practice the presence of God. Have a scripture that applies to every situation, and know that he's right there. You don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Okay.
What's up, Mom?
I've got
Wild Bill with us.
All right.
Hi, Bill. Are you there?
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed all the scriptures that you've tied in to Psalms 119 to, you know, show how that this is not just one verse of scripture that says this, but how it so ties into the narrative of the Word of God. It just, it's funny how the Holy Ghost, I believe in this world we live in, that there's a flow of the Holy Ghost. And as people tie into it, I used to just be shocked when you could go and people would be talking about what their pastor preached. And you could be looking, especially now with Facebook, and you can see so many pastors that their topic for their Sunday message or Sunday night message is the same. Maybe different scriptures, may have come at it from a totally different direction, but the meaning of what God's wanting to do is there. And so many of these scriptures that Blog Talk Mom tied in just really, it's really funny. I share with Blog Talk Mom how God's working with me on a message that, you know, unless God strikes me by lightning, I'm probably not going to preach it, because it's one of those messages that really shows you're taking some messages sometimes you're preaching with not just an anointing, but you're preaching with an authority. And those you got to be very delicate, really seek after God and make sure what you do. But when these scriptures that was read there, when you're looking at all this, how many times have we taken the Word of God, and we know that it's the anointed, inspired Word of God, and we put our hands to it in ways that God never intended for us to put our hands to it? How many times have we heard things so much that we can repeat it? The words come in and we can say the words back, but do we realize that if we're not living those words, that it's a lie? Our life is a lie, and it goes up before God as any other lie. When He judges, it's going to be judged as any lie that there is. And all liars shall have their place in a lake of fire. And we want to have revival. We look at in the Old Testament, a type and shadow of the New Testament, and we see to where the man just wanted to study the Ark of the Covenant. It had value to him, and he put his hands on it, and he was struck dead. And how many things that are God's, the anointed of God, that we put our hands to and we take it out of context and we twist it to make points, that's not really what God was saying at that time. It may be something that is motivational. It may be something that's positive. But it's not really the narrative of what the Word of God is saying. And we justify these things and we make it light and we're like, well, it's all for good and it's for the kingdom. But that man did not mean to do anything but to study the Ark of the Covenant. That was it. And as Blog Talk Mom was talking about all these things, we want a revival. It has to start with not just being able to hear the word and not just being able to recite the word, not know all the automatic response if someone comes up from another denomination and they say, well, I believe that there's three different people as part of the Godhead. There's three people up there. Then you come back with your set responses. Our life should be our biggest testimony. You read one scripture there earlier where it talked about being silent. And I was like, whoa, that doesn't fit what you would think it would be. It'd be go tell everybody. Go shout it on the mountaintop. You know, it's don't be silent about this. But there's times to where you got to let the Word of God speak through us, not through our mouth. Not through what we can say, not through our knowledge, not through our skills, but through what God shows people in our life. There's times that it's just okay to be silent. We talk about, you know, wanting to have God work in our life, but I wonder sometimes how many of us really take time to listen to hear what God has to say. For that matter, how many of us really know His voice? And all the stress and all the times and things that's going on around this world of everybody trying to keep up with what this government politician is doing and what this political party is doing and all this stuff that we're spouting hate and discontent when, if we're not careful, when we get so tied up into this talk radio stuff, we get into anti-this and anti-that. And what, you can't be anti-something and you can't be pro-God at the same time. What did he say? He said that, you know, you can't both curse and bless, you know, with the same mouth. But yet we as people of faith, supposed to be called the children of God, we do that. And we don't even give notice to what it is that we're doing because everybody else is doing it. We're so where there's so much knowledge that you can gain from what you see out there in the world that, you know, there's just this news source and that news source, and this was checking that one, and that was checking this one. And as I shared with our church not long ago, when I was deployed in the United States Army, they had a thing called the Iran-Contra, or the Iran hostage issue that happened. And I remember when they started day one. My family knows that 2 weeks before they started down one, that I was called out on maneuvers, and they put in the newspaper that we're going to Idaho to help with the refugees that were coming in from Cuba. And really, in truth, they flew us out to Barstow, California. They had a commanding general that stood up that I'd never seen before, that he was not someone who was in my normal sphere of influence in the military. And he told us, the balloon is about to go up. We may be possibly going to war. You guys are going out for desert training because they've taken hostages in Iran. But yet 2 weeks later in the news, day one of the hostage situation. You know, we don't really know half of what we think we know of what's going on. Just that one incident right there let me know. And I've had people argue with me, and they're like, oh, man, you don't know. You know, you're just mistaken. Yeah, well, they're, no, I was the one who was out there in Barstow, California, instead of being in Idaho and freezing at night and burning up in the daytime up there in the high mountain desert while we were trying to get ready for what was coming. But, you know, people are like, well, you know, you just don't know. And we argue that same thing, like we have knowledge that other people don't have, and we don't really take time to listen to God. I'm not talking about just getting into his word. I'm talking about listening to what he wants to tell us about his word. Let him speak to our heart. Let him show us things in our life that are displeasing to him. Letting him tell us things that he wants to do in our life, what callings he wants to have there, what blessings he wants to have there. But no, we know what blessings we want. We know what things we want, and we don't have time to hear what God wants us to have. We want what we want, and we think that that should be the all-important thing, right? I mean, I've been there. I know, Lord, I got my list of things. It's almost like Santa Claus. God, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. And, you know, I'd like to go back to being where I feel like I'm 20 years old again. I'd really like to have a head of hair and, you know, things that have nothing to do with nothing in the big picture of things of life. But what about, do we ever have that wish to be able to have faith working in our lives where we can walk into a hospital room and the power of God be working through us so mightily that we can go through and lay hands on people and they be healed? Maybe not of all their physical afflictions, but be able to plant seed that has power in their life that can give them life more abundant than anything they could ever have. I went for an MRI on Monday, and they asked what kind of music. I said, you got any gospel? And they started playing this song, and I'm in my MRI machine. I'm sitting there weeping as I'm hearing this song because it was talking about, Lord, fill me. Fill me, Lord. Let me be full of your spirit. And then it went into being overflowing. Let those rivers overflow as those bellies of living water. Let it overflow so that what I have in myself, Lord, not just supplies my need, but that there's enough there to meet the needs of other people to be able to shine forth your light. Let your statute shine forth in my life. Let it be a shield about me that keeps me safe. Let it be a boundary to let me know when I've started to go too far. But more than that, Lord, let me look at those things of value. That, Lord, you love me so much that you set boundaries there to keep me safe where nothing can come in against me as long as I stay within that boundary. But we don't want to go there because that calls for personal accountability. This is just the first part of Psalms, of the first 8 verses of this, and I don't know if Mom is going to take all 22 weeks to go through this, and we just finished going through all of Revelation, and if this is where this is going, I don't care because I feel that this is important for people to grasp, and some of it's repetitive. Sometimes repetition is good. Sometimes it takes a while for things to soak into your soul and to soak through your hard head to get you to understand that there is a way. God set up a pattern in the beginning of what he was going to do to save us. Before we were even born, he prepared a way. Before he ever created man, he prepared a way. He had a plan. He wasn't caught off guard. There wasn't all of a sudden like, you know, oh, man, what am I going to do now? Adam and Eve blew it. He had a plan. And he's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for me, And he's looking for us to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get into your plan. Lord, I want to know more about your plan. Let it be like a boss that you go in and you're saying, like, you know, I want to be able to share with the people what it is that if I'm a supervisor, I want to know how the boss wants to do it, and that's the way I'm going to teach the people to do it. Not just be a boss and do things in your own way, but to understand, and that's where we need to be with God. Lord, I want to know more about what it is. Teach me your statutes. Let them be a blessing before me to show me your ways and lead and guide me. But there again, that comes up to that big thing called accountability. It comes into that thing about not just being hearers of the word, but being doers of the word. It comes across those scriptures that says that there's people that's going to be like a sounding brass, that's tinkling cymbal, and they're not going to have no power in their life. And I don't want that to be my life. I want it to be where the power of God can work through me to be a blessing to others around me. And so I kind of went off a little bit further on this than what I meant to, but this has really been a blessing, Blog Talk Mom.
Well, you're just doing what I ask you to do. I want to teach it, and I want you to preach it. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, this is one of those things. In this day and time, with all the things that we see around us, if you can't be stirred, then you're not going to be stirred. And, you know, we can pray for you. But sometimes there comes to this thing of, you know, when you're the one in the water that's drowning, you need to reach up and call out for help. You need to let somebody know you're there. You know, but there again, it comes to that identification process of God's word where we show you where you really are. And a lot of people don't want to see.
That's true. That's true. That's where I think we should really ask God to help us to mourn and to intercede, that they will see. Give them eyes to see, Lord. Give them ears to hear. Lord, you know, quicken it to them. And we're going to get into the part about more about quickening, because it's all the way through Psalms. There's a couple of more scriptures. Were you through? I want you to finish everything on your heart, though.
No, I was through. That's what I really felt to this ad. And it's like I was sharing, this is part of a message that God is really speaking into my heart, that, you know, I've been just really going through the word and trying to put together and, you know, praying for an anointing and, you know, God's voice in. So, you know, it's just God is reaching out for those who will, for whosoever will. And it's up to you to decide if you're going to take his hand, and because he's faithful. If we come to him, no matter how bad we are, no matter how dirty we've been, no matter what our situation, he's faithful. So it's up to, as individuals, to make your calling and election sure, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and it's up to the church to be ready to give birth.
Amen. So. That is so good. Well, you've actually said what these scriptures say, so just to confirm in the actual scriptures in that I had written down here, talking about keeping the things, the laws, it says Psalms 25:4 all the way down to 10, says, show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths. That's what Wild Bill was just saying. Will we do that? Will we go to God? Show me your way, Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh, I love that scripture. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. And not that God needs to be reminded of that, but we need to be reminded of that. We need to voice that. And then it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. 119:133, order. This is a prayer for us to end on. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. When we pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. We all have to pray this prayer. Cast me not away from thy presence. take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for your wonderful word. It doesn't have to be anointed. It is anointed. But we must be touched by the fire of God, by that anointing, dear Lord, that opens us up. Lord, in Jesus' name we claim souls to be born into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Sister Starla, I am so blessed by your reading. I thank you so much. And Wild Bill, thank you again for the opportunity to share with you what I've been studying in Psalms 119. And I'm through.
Well, we so enjoyed it. And we sure enjoyed what Wild Bill had to add to that.
Amen.
So we did such a good job together.
And we do, don't we, Starla?
What you do. Yes.
I'm talking about you, too.
I appreciate it. Well, I can read, but, I just really enjoy your teaching. It is just so awesome. I just soak it up like a sponge.
That is so sweet of you.
We're looking forward to what you have. We're looking forward to what you have for us next week, and we'll look forward to that with great anticipation.
Thank you very much, and happy
everybody birthday
to Wild Bill. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Wild Bill has a birthday coming. It's next week.
Good. He's going to get a year older.
I'm going to be 12 this year.
And
all right.
Yeah.
I can remember.
Well, Block Talk Mom, are you doing the next? Are you doing the next date this next week, Block Talk Mom?
If you want to take a break and do something else, you know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, and you know, we can come back to
this. I think this is good. I think we should just go ahead and go through it, and that way the shows will be in order. And, you know, as you were talking about before, don't worry about the repetition, because some of the words are repetitive, but as they are applied, it's a little different in each one of these when you go through. So, if one thing, it adds too. You know, it just kind of like building a house. So I think that would be good to have, as long as you got the time and energy to do it.
Well, I really enjoy, I'm enjoying it, and I am keeping notes and hope to, have it ready. If I'm going to use it in any way, because it seems like there's a lot of denominations right now teaching on Psalms 119. I don't think that's a coincidence. So there's really a message here. I believe it's going to unify the body of Christ as we really get into it. So I do thank you so much, Wild Bill and Sister Starla. This is a great treat for me, and we'll be praying till next week.
Well,
the Lord bless you. We'll be back.
All right.
I just wanted to thank you too with the reading.
Okay.
I just wanted to thank you, Starla. I don't think you realize how good you really do with the reading and operating the show.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening this week, and we do so enjoy what Wild Bill and Blog Talk Mom bring to us. And we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.